Now, ice is still a big part of life here in Wisconsin, especially when we head out to enjoy the winter sports. But just because it's cold out, even really cold out, doesn't mean that the ice is safe to go out on. Todd Schaller is Chief Conservation Warden with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He has 30 years of natural resource protection and outdoor recreational safety experience in Wisconsin. Todd, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Todd, I think a lot of people might just look at the temperatures the last few days and think, okay, the ice is safe now. Is that a safe assumption to make?
It isn't, and I think we go by, and the message we've continued to try to push to people is that, you know, we really should never consider ice safe. And then I realize we enjoy fishing and snowmobiling and ice skating and all the things out on our waterways, but in the back of your mind, you need to keep in mind the fact that it's varied on water body to water body. It can be varied even on the same water body, and you just need to realize that it's not solid ground, and it can break away, and we don't know when. So,
what's the best way to say or to figure out if a particular lake, say, is probably okay if this is something we can even consider going out on?
You know, probably the best source of that information is, you know, local bait shops, local sports clubs. There's even some websites, you know, fishing websites that are out there that, you know, probably have the best handle on local ice conditions. And that's kind of where we direct people. As a Department of Natural Resources, we don't monitor ice conditions. We don't report on ice conditions. We let that to the locals who are the most knowledgeable.
I think some people might listen and say, okay, this is pretty obvious stuff, but I grew up in a town in Michigan where it was an annual tradition where you'd watch for the first truck to go through the ice on the lake. We do actually see problems with vehicles and people falling through the ice, right?
Every year. We see it early, we see it middle of the winter, and we see it late. And you're right. We really try to emphasize that, and it seems like common sense, but it really isn't, and people just need to take safety cautions.
And I think about the people maybe going out to try something like ice fishing or snowmobiling on the ice for the first time ever. What kind of stuff do you recommend for them if they're not those seasoned pros?
Sure. Probably the first thing is know before you go. You know, get some idea from locals. Maybe go with somebody who's familiar with that water body. So you know you're going in an area that should have good ice conditions. Some safety things to consider would be to, you know, make sure you carry a cell phone. Probably put it in a plastic bag, so if something were to happen and you were to get wet, it'll still function. There's what they're called ice picks. They're manufactured, or you can go online and find ways to hand make them or make them yourself. But It's a mechanism that if you were to fall through, it allows you to kind of pull yourself out of the water, because now the ice is slippery and you won't have a good grip. And the last thing is, if you were to go through, that when you come back onto the ice, to not immediately stand up, spread out your body weight, roll, crawl, but don't stand up, and always go back from where you were coming from, not away from where you were coming from, because you know where you came from held you or was good ice at that point in time.
We're talking to Todd Schaller. He's Chief Conservation Warden at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We're talking about ice safety in Wisconsin. And by the way, we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you do things out on the ice in the winter? Do you go ice fishing? Do you snowmobile on an ice-covered lake? Do you cross-country ski or snowshoe out on the ice? We'd love to hear your story. It doesn't have to be safety-related, though I hope you are being safe about it. Call in if you do any of those winter activities out on the ice. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Todd, I want to break down some of those safety tips a little more. I've walked on lakes on the ice in the winter, of course, over the years. I wasn't familiar with some of these things, these ice claws or picks. Where would we find these? What are they like?
They're basically, if you make them yourself, it's kind of a nail inside of a wooden doll or handle. The manufactured ones, you know, they have safety mechanism so that the pick or the nail isn't always exposed. But it's almost like a screwdriver. And it, if you were to have to pull yourself out, you dig them into the ice and basically crawl or claw your way out of the ice. It's just a way to, you know, get out of very slippery conditions. And the other thing is to not try to lift yourself, but actually try to swim and come out horizontal versus vertical.
Right. So the one thing you don't want to have happen is you get yourself out of the ice, stand up on the edge of where it's been breaking anyway, and then fall through a second time.
Yep, exactly.
And then can you talk about what to do? You've fallen through the ice. You've brought your picks. You've gotten out. Talk about the health risks and when to seek medical attention.
Sure. I mean, hypothermia, once you're wet, moisture, takes your body temperature down immediately. You add wind or cold temperatures, and that just accelerates that impact or effect. So hypothermia can hit within minutes, and there's varying levels of hypothermia. So the first thing you should do is try to get to some place warm. So is that a vehicle? Is that a residence along the lakefront? And do that as quick as possible. Once you're in that setting, get out of the wet clothes, get into a dry blanket or a dry clothes, and slowly warm your body temperature up. So some of the first impacts of hypothermia are you start to lose dexterity in your hands and fingers, your joints, your outer extremities. And then as you get colder or that length of time increases, that impact obviously then can be more severe and could eventually cause death. So
let's bring on a caller now. We've got Rick on the line in Alma. Rick, hi.
Hello.
Do you have a story for us, I understand, Rick?
I've got a couple of stories about breaking through the ice myself and watching other people break through the ice. I'll tell you the most dramatic one where I almost died. I had some property up in northern Minnesota, and I was walking along a creek that ran through the property, and like an idiot, I walked over to a depravity in the snow, stepped on it, bam, right down into the water up to my waist. And it was at the time 40 below zero, and I was a mile from the cabin. So what I did was I crawled out of the water up onto the snow, made my way out to the road that was about 100 yards through the snow. By the time I got to the road, my legs were like stovepipes.
Wow.
So I hobbled back to the cabin, and thank God I had a good fire going. I got out of those wet clothes, got next to the stove, and that was my lesson. Don't walk towards a low spot in the snow.
Rick, thanks a lot for sharing that. Glad you're still with us to tell the story. And Todd, that brings up a point. I imagine we got to be more careful on running water, a creek or a river, than on standing water.
Yeah, a lot. Great point. And Rick's story was true. And the running water, flowing water, whether creeks and rivers are obviously the obvious one, but even keep in mind that our lakes have inlets and outlets. So that can generate an area of thinner or less ice that, provides less safe ice. So those are things to consider. Think about springs are another area that tend to hold water open or create less ice. So lots of factors that, as I said earlier, can, on a single body of water, you can have varying levels of ice thickness based on flow, inlets, outlets, springs, all those factors.
Rick, thanks for that call. Go next to Dan on the line in Duluth. Dan, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm relatively new to the area. I've only lived in Duluth about 4 years, 3 years actually. And I don't know the process by which one measures the ice. So how do you actually measure the thickness of the ice without, to determine whether or not it's safe or not?
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Todd, can we do that?
Sure. It's a good question. I kind of refer people, particularly if they're new to an area or new to a water body, to kind of talk to the locals, talk to a local bait shop, and they're going to give you the best sense of what the ice conditions are. How does one person measure ice? A lot of the folks who are experienced, and what they'll do is they'll walk out a short distance, either with a spud buyer or an auger, you know, test the ice, maybe drill a hole or chop through, and then realize it's, you know, what the thickness is. And if it's thick enough, they'll continue a little further out, do the same thing, and then until they get a good sense of what the ice conditions are on that particular lodge body. But again, go 100 yards, 200 yards, a half a mile, and the conditions could be completely different.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Todd, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Todd Schaller, Chief Conservation Warden with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He joined us to talk about staying safe on the ice this winter. And you can get some more safety tips over at the DNR website, where you can just search for ice safety.